The Ramban points out in his Perush al Torah in this week's Sedra that it seems evident from the Maisa, the Yehuda and Tamar, that there was a notion of Yibam prior to Matan Torah. And the way the Ramban presents it, what you see from the Maisa of Yehuda and Tamar is not only was there a notion of Yibam, but the notion of Yibam in the time of the Avos extended beyond just the Yabam, just the typical situation of Eishes Ach Shel B'Macha Mitzvah, but extended to other relatives as well, as we see from Yehuda. Last year, we discussed some contemporary issues in Hilchos Yibam. We spoke specifically about whether Mitzvah Yibam Kodemes or Mitzvah Chalitza Kodemes, and the common practice now in most communities, even among Sfardim, to only do Chalitza and Yibam. And we discussed the Shaila of post-mortem insemination and the effect that that could have on Zika and Hilchos Yibam and Chalitza. So this year, the topic is again contemporary issues in Hilchos Yibam and Chalitza. So there are other issues that we still can discuss. In the Sefer HaChalitza Kolchasa, he points out in the beginning of the second Chalak, the first Chalak is on Hilchos Yibam, the second Chalak is on Hilchos Chalitza. So he points out that the mitzvah Yibam Chalitza is a little bit unique. Now, we don't usually find a situation where the Torah tells you there are two different options of mitzvahs that you can do to accommodate a certain situation. The one exception, he says, perhaps by Pidyon Petach Chamor, you have the option of even being either being poda the Petach Chamor or doing a rifa. So maybe that's one such model. But aside from that, you don't really find any parallel to Yibam and Chalitza, where the Torah tells you, if you want, you can do Yibam. If you want, you can do Chalitza. So why is that? What's unique about Yibam and Chalitza that the Torah gives you this two-option system? The Rambam and the Minyan and Mitzvahs counts Yibam and Chalitza as two separate mitzvahs. So he quotes from a tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Karo, and the tshuva is Rabbi Yosef Karo quoting from his uncle, Rabbi Yitzchak Karo, that the reason we have this unique element of Yibam and Chalitza is because when it comes to Ishus, when it comes to a person marrying someone else, so people don't necessarily want to be forced to marry someone that they have no interest in being married to. And the Torah acknowledges that there's a certain amount of choice that is involved, and therefore you can't force someone into a situation of living with someone he has no desire to live with. So the Torah couldn't have forced us to do Yibam if a person has no interest in living with the Yabam and the Yavama. So that's why the option of Chalitza just as well. Then he quotes in the Sefer Tzurah HaMor, a slightly different approach, that the Torah accommodates the following situation. You have someone who's already married, so he doesn't necessarily want to marry a second wife. Even though in the Torah it's true that you're allowed to marry more than one wife, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily the optimal situation. Even if the Torah allows for it prior to Chayre Beit HaGersham, it's not necessarily something that everyone would want to do. So the Torah takes that into consideration and gives you an allowance of Chalitza. Right, that's important to note because of the contemporary issue that Dr. Lederach pointed out to me this past week. There's a little bit of discussion in the media about a letter that Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef wrote a few weeks ago that was recently published. Apparently one of the Batei Din came across a certain cult or certain group of people in Eretz Yisrael who were advocating being Nosei Ish Al Ishto, advocating having multiple wives. And the one particular case that came to the Beis Din, I think it was in Tel Aviv's attention, was that there was someone who was part of this group of people that wanted to have multiple wives, and he convinced someone else to undergo Kiddushin with him. And before they got to the stage of Nisuin, she realized that this probably wasn't an optimal situation, and she wanted out, and she was having trouble getting out, so the Beis Din convinced the husband to give her a get. What was misreported in the media was as if the Beis Din forced him to give a get, so that's not what happened, at least as evidenced by Yitzchak Yosef's letter, which I read. It sounded like he was contemplating, at a theoretical level, under these circumstances, maybe the Kiddushin wasn't a good Kiddushin. He raises, for example, the Chiddush, we don't know if it's this way, but he raises, for example, some Rishonim that seem to indicate that when you perform Kiddushin against the Ratzon HaKal, against the common takanos, the common practices of the community, maybe the Kiddushin is not Chal. That's a big Chiddush. He wasn't necessarily saying that Lemaisa, we're just throwing that in as food for thought in this particular situation. So what he pointed out, what does that mean, takanos HaKal? So the reference is to the takana that was made in the early years of the rabbinut. The same time that they made a takana that even Sfardim shouldn't do Yibim, they should only do Chalitza, they also made a takana that you're only allowed to get married with Chuppah, you can't have Kedushin without Chuppah, and you have to have a minyan, it has to be done under proper auspices. So he wonders aloud, or in print, whether if a person affects Kedushin against the local practice, against the takana of the rabbinut, and here he did Kedushin without Nisuin, so maybe that shouldn't, according to some Rishonim, again, we don't necessarily listen like, but according to some Rishonim in theory, maybe that shouldn't be Chal. There's another, the same story that I saw in a tshuva that was just published today, contemporary issue, that no real Kedushim here, but the Bez Din in Ashkelon, so the head of the Herkeva was Rabbi Buchris, formerly of Karmi Avna, so he wrote the following psak in a Kiddushei Tzchok situation. The Shaila was, the way it's presented in the Psak of the Rabbanut, that it was dated a week ago, but just released today. The situation was, there is a young man who proposed to a young lady, and he walked into the room, and there are a lot of friends there, and there's a big sign that said, "Will you marry me?" And then he put a ring on her finger, in the presence, a diamond ring in her finger, in the presence of the whole party there, and that was all quite a videotape. So and then the engagement was broken off, and they didn't end up getting married, and someone had the machshava, well, maybe that was a proper kedushin, maybe she needs a get. So that's the shaila that the Beis Din was dealing with. So there are many reasons that in this kind of a kedushei tzchok situation, it's probably not kedushei tzchok anyway, there's no kavanah l'shem kedushin. There are many reasons that you don't have to be concerned, especially even where it is, even if it is Kedusha Tzchok, we make on Kedusha Tzchok in most situations, that's not our topic now. But one of the things that he raises is, well, if even if this was the Shem Kedusha, if it was done not without a chuppah, and not in the normal context, so maybe it's done against the Takana Sakahal, maybe it shouldn't be Chal. Again, that's one of 12 different snifim, but just reminded of that in light of Rabbi Yosef's tshuva, in light of this brief tangent related to why we have Mrs. Yibam and Mrs. Chalitza. So bottom line, they had no problem telling these people they could live their happy lives or unhappy lives and not have to worry about it again.
But in terms of the Talmud Mitzvah, mm-hmm. the Torah recognizes that not everyone want to get married, I mean, and then can force someone. I mean, the clear impression of the Torah is that right. Yibam is what you should be doing, and Chalitza is not recommended, and it's...
Well, that is a machlokas amaram. That's Chacham Abishal of the Mitzvah Yibam Kodemus, Mitzvah Chalitza Kodemus. Shuto Shal Mikra, you're correct. But even so, the Torah gives you an option.
Right.
There are other circumstances that you can't do Yibam, you don't want to do Yibam, you don't have to
right.
ruin your life just for that even presumed lechachila. Okay. There is a discussion in Poskim as to... Talk about Mrs. Chalitza. Yibam is a slightly different equation. Yibam, we generally assume if you are in a position to do Yibam, so that's definitely a mitzvah that you should do. Question is, when it comes to Chalitza, is Chalitza viewed as essentially a mitzvah, or is it only a matir? Is it that if Yibam is out of the picture, so if a woman wants to get remarried, so then she needs to undergo Chalitza to be able to remarry, to get rid of that Zika, so to remove her status as a Shemeres Yabam? Or is there a mitzvah to do chalitza even if there's no intention of remarrying? So that's a discussion in Poskim. If you look in the Beis Shmuel, the Beis Shmuel here?
Yeah.
Okay. Beis Shmuel in Simen Kuf Samech Hei Sif Katan Tes. So the Shmuel assumes that if a woman doesn't want to undergo chalitza, she has that option. Or if a man doesn't want to perform chalitza, and no one's going to get remarried anyway, maybe that is okay. There's a Tshuvas Chasan Sofer that you have here in the Mar Mekomos. This is on page 1. So the Chasan Sofer is asked about the following situation. Tshuvas Chasan Sofer, Ebenezer Chelik Beis, Simen Pei Hei. There is a Yabim and Yavama who are elderly, and they both agree that they have no interest in doing Yibum or Chalitza. They have no problem remaining in a state of Zekukim Zelazah, because they're embarrassed or because it's too difficult. They have no interest in performing Chalitza, and they're happy to remain single for the rest of their lives. So is there a problem with that, or do we let them live as such? So the Chasam Sofer says, even though it's true that there is a Zohar that seems to indicate that Chalitza affects a certain tikkun for the neshama of the deceased, and therefore maybe that should push us towards insisting on Chalitza in order to achieve this tikkun for the neshama. So first of all, he points out, if there's ever machlokas between the Bavli and the Zohar, so we would go with the Bavli. Especially over here, it's not explicit that there really is a machlokas. Maybe all the Zohar means is that it's a nice thing to do. But you can't necessarily force someone to perform chalitza just because of this Zohar. So at best, it's a kind of gemilas chasadim that the Zohar is recommending, gemilas chasadim im ha-mesim. That's like saying Kaddish for a mace. So we're not going to force someone to say Kaddish if he doesn't want to say Kaddish. We're not going to force someone to do chalitza if he doesn't want to do chalitza. So fundamentally, chalitza is a matir. It's not an absolute mitzvah that you have to do under all circumstances. And as a matir, there may be other side benefits to doing chalitza as a tikkun for the neshama, but we can't insist on that if the parties both agree that they don't want to do it. We're not going to force it upon them.
Is it a tikkun for the neshama even though the isha is a zakena? She's not of childbearing age?
Doing
chalitza is to
that doesn't
create another neshama, and that's the schus for that.
Well, chalitza is not going to create the neshama. Yibum will create a neshama. Right. So to the extent that chalitza affects a tikkun, that's irrespective of whether anyone's going to have any other children.
Right.
Good. Then you have Chuvas Binyan Si and Simon Kufnun Gimel, who has kind of a middle position. Similar kind of shaila. There is an elderly woman who was no fellow with Neyabim. She didn't want to do chalitza, and she claimed that she had her father, who was an abezdin, who told her that there's no din of chalitza once you hit the age of 60. And she's a balas mum, and she's weak, and she's not going to get married anyway, so do we force her? So aside from the fact that the Binyan Siyam points out there's no evidence anywhere that there's an age limit on chalitza, and this is probably a misunderstanding of what her father allegedly told her, but we should encourage her to do chalitza because there is this notion of gemilas chasadim im hames. But if she's sensitive, so we can kind of do it in a more sensitive way, and we don't have to be machmer on some of the chumas that we have in chalitza, and we could do it in the most private way with the fewest people around possible in order to kind of assuage her concerns. But if push comes to shove, we're not going to be called for her to do chalitza if she is uninterested. And then you have some other achronim who take more of the mitzvah approach. In the Sefer Chalitza Golchasa, he points out that the Nitziv kind of takes this approach in the Sheilta Kuf Nun Dalet. I think it's Kuf Nun Dalet. And there are other achronim who say that as well. But there definitely is latitude in a situation where both parties are not interested in doing Chalitza. So in a L'chachila situation, if all things are equal, we encourage them to do chalitza even if they're not going to get remarried. But if there's some pushback and there's no intention to get remarried, so there's definitely one to rely on to not force the situation.
If a woman is Dr. Liliyava and she doesn't go for chalitza and she marries Lashok, which is a nisser,
right?
Are her kids from Zerim?
So that's so there is Tvisas Kedushin. If a Shameris Yaba marries someone else, so there is Tvisas Kedushin. It's a lav. We discourage lavin also. There's definitely no mamzeris min haTorah, but it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch whether there's a mamzer derabbanan. So according to one day in Rishon and one day in Shulchan Aruch, even generally speaking, we assume that if there is a union that has Tvisas Kedushin, so then you don't have mamzeris. But here, There may be some concept of Mabzeris Darabanim, which is one day in Shulchan Aruch. That's Bechlal, a whole issue. If she marries Be'isser, so is she allowed to stay married to that husband even after she does Chalitza? So there's a chiluk between Shogeg, Mezid, Ones. She requires a get. So you do a get and then a Chalitza, and then is she allowed to remarry under certain circumstances? There's an ongoing case where there was such a situation of a Shemeres Yabam who remarried Be'isser to a Kohen. So if we're going to insist that she receives a get, then she wouldn't be able to remarry the Kohen afterwards, even if we would have allowed it otherwise. So there may be some latitude under such circumstances there, but that's not really our topic right now.
But would she be considered like a Nebel Apostle, sort of type of thing? Because she shouldn't have married him in the first place.
Right, so that's the chiluk between Mezid and Shogeg. So Shogeg, I mean, if she didn't know that there's an Isser, she didn't know that there's a Zika, so that's a Shogeg of some sort, so there's more... There's more room to allow them to remain or to marry again or remain married after Chalitza is performed. Right. But that's relevant to the following situation that could come up nowadays. We've discussed previously the status of civil marriages and halacha, civil marriages and non-halachic marriages in the context of Gittin. Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas Haposkim. How do we assume lalacha if a couple is married only civilly or in a non-halachic fashion? Does the dissolution of that marriage require a get? So our general approach is that definitely it's a lechachila matter, we require a get under those circumstances, but if a get is impossible to procure, so sometimes we may be makel to allow the party to remarry without a get, because in principle we assume the ikaradin that such a kedushin is not a valid kedushin. So how does that play out in terms of chalitza? Let's say there is a civil marriage, and then the yavama, and it could go in either direction, you have a civil marriage, and then the husband dies, and then there's a zika liyibam. So what's the nature of that zika liyibam? Do you really need to do chalitza? Or would you say that the civil marriage is nothing, and there isn't really a need for chalitza? I'm sorry?
Yes, there's no zika.
And then there's no Zika, right? So what would you say? So I was assumed, until I thought about this today, or until I saw some contrary indication here in the Sefer, I assumed that just like we're Machmir in Gittin, we'd be Machmir in Chalitza also, and assume that there is a Zika. If push comes to shove, in a situation where it would be impossible to procure a Chalitza, and let's say that the woman wants to remarry, the Yavama wants to remarry, and the Yabam is a mummer, like all the classic cases in the Poskim about the Ach mummer. But the original marriage is only civil marriage, so maybe there's a lot to be makel about to be Mater her Lashuk, even without a Chalitza. But as a Lechachila matter, I assume that we're Machri here as well. So in the Sefer Chalitza Kolchasa, he quotes a letter in the back from a Stern from Bnei Brak of the Bezdin of Rav Ozner, the Mechaber of the Geiris Kolchasa and Ksuba Kolchasa. So he thinks that Mela, we're going to be Machmir by a get after civil marriage, because there's a Chashash Eishes Ish, which is a Chi of Kareis, so then you have to be Machmir. And even there, if push comes to shove, it will be Mekel if you can't get a get. When it comes to a Zika, so Shemeres Yabam is no more than a lav. So then he thinks, why do you have to be Machmir? We're only talking about a lav. He doesn't address the fact that there's one day in Shulchan Aruch that it is it still creates an Amzeres Rabbanon. So that's interesting. I spoke earlier today to both Rabbi Reis and Rabbi Willick, who both thought that was strange. And assumed, as I'd assume, that we treat a civil marriage, le'inyan zika, as at least le'chachila, creating a need for chalitza.
Is that a din on the... I mean, we're dealing with a woman who isn't religious, right?
Maybe she didn't used to be religious, and now she is religious.
Is it a din on if the brother is? Is it a din on the brother also, or is it a din on the woman?
So
the brother's going to come along and say, I gotta do a fight to her, and she's going to be like...
Yes, so in that situation where the Yavama has no interest in participating in Chalitza, mm-hmm. and the Yavama wants to, so then we should encourage it. You can't do more than you can do. But definitely to the extent that it's maybe a mitzvah anyway, and it's some tikkun for the neshama, so that's a good thing to do. But if it's impossible, then what can you do?
Common law wives?
I'm sorry?
Common law wives. Without a civil. Just live together, but people know that they're a couple.
Yeah, that's the same.
Same idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There is a notion in Hilchos Chalitza of piersum, of publicity. If you look at the Gemara in Yevamot on Kuf Aleph on the Beis, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kuf Aleph on the Beis, towards the bottom. Tzvichei Dayanim L'mikva Duchta. When it comes to a Chalitza, you require a Kviyas Makom, which means that the Dayanim have to go, in our practice, the Dayanim have to go the day before, and they make a declaration that we're being kavei this malkum to perform a chalitza at tomorrow. Dechsev al sayiv em tova shara el ezekainim. Rav Papa of Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yishua avdi uvda b'chamisha. So they perform chalitza in the presence of five dayanim. Keman k'Rav Yehuda. So in the first mission of Perek Mitzvah Chalitza, we have shitas Rav Yehuda that you require five dayanim. V'hadar bei, but Rav Yehuda was chozer from that position of requiring five dayanim and agreed that you only need three dayanim. The Gemara answers the person may milsa. So yeah, mi'ikar adin, you only need three dayanim, but we did this with five dayanim, which is our practice as a form of persume milsa. Look at Rashi, live persume milsa, the chalutzahi, that we want to be mefarsin that this woman is a chalutza, v'lo lins v'lekoin, and therefore she is asur lekoin. So we create a certain piersum, a certain publicity, so that people are going to know that this woman is now asur lekoin. And that's what's affected by having five dayanim. Inami delesu inchu v'likvitsu ala, or that we want to publicize the fact that this woman is now eligible and free to remarry, and we want to encourage her shidduchim prospects. So, for either of those reasons, there's a notion of piersum. So Rashi here says, the Pashup Shah of the Gemara, minimally, that piersum is reflected in having a larger number of dayanim than usual, and the Meiri explains that he understands that piersum is modifying the first and also kviyas malkum. The reason you have a kviyas malkum before performing chalitza is to create a certain amount of publicity for either reason that Rashi quotes. I saw there are pictures on Yeshiva World News of a chalitza that took place in Cheskel Ross Bezdin a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, with Yitzchak Stein. They put on there a sign advertising that the chalitza is going to take place at 10:30 tomorrow morning. And I think I thought I had a copy here. And that sign, here we go. Achraza al chalitza, behet'eim lahalacha anu machrizim, bazeh asher, in such a day, in such and such a time, there will be a chalitza in this base medrash. So I'm not sure what that meant, behet'eim lahalacha, the halacha is that they have a kviyas makom. I'm not sure if it did in Shulchan Aruch, they'd have to put up a sign. But in the spirit of Pearson, they put up a sign that the chalitza is going to take place on such and such a time. And that is the spirit of what Kfiyas Makom means. So in the Seder Chalitza, sorry?
I saw the pictures of that. So they have a whole bunch of people. Is that what they do with chalitza? A whole bunch of people are more part of it.
So in the Seder HaChalitza in Shulchan Aruch, it says that our practice is to have a minion present for a chalitza. So you take a look at Seder Chalitza Se'if Yud Gimel. Do we have that here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second to last page. Neviim Oda Nashim. So you bring more people. So minimally we have a minion. Minimally we have five dayanim anyway. We have another five people. So the minhag in his time was that they would do a chalitza right after davening in the morning. Does ika rovam? That's opening line. So the Rama says that the minhag was to do it in shul in the morning, so then you'd have maximum piersum. So it sounds like the minimum piersum is a minyan, and then if you have more people, that is a maximum piersum.
So Heishanim Sa'im Hadayana means, according to the Ebenezer here, that the bezdin is a bezdin of five plus another five.
That is correct.
Bezdin of three.
No, correct. For chalitza, we have the bezdin of five dayanim, right. And once you have five dayanim, you're already halfway to the minyan.
Right. Why five versus three?
So that's the Meiri says that's because of piersum. The Gemara says that's because of piersum.
Three is not piersum.
Three is a regular bezdin, so you have more dayanim. That's more piersum. There's Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah initially thought that's mikra din, and then the Gemara says no, that's only mishum chumra of piersum. Mm-hmm. So we always have five dayanim for chalitza mishum piersum, and then the notion of having a minyan mishum piersum as well. There is a Pirkei de Blazer quoted in the Egos Maimini in Hilchos Yibam v'Chalitza, Perek Dalit, the last page here, Oth Yud, fascinating Pirkei de Blazer. Pirkei de Blazer refers to Yitzarach Pirsim, Kedarmina Perek, V'Aisile Be'asara. I'm sorry, Vav. Pirkei de Blazer refers to Yitzarach Pirsim. Yoli quotes an excerpt of it here, but the lush of the Pirkei de Blazer is as follows: Ale asur vale navel, kol edus ne'amanus li Yisrael basara, hakinor shaya minagin bo David basara nevala, edus brismila basara, edus hameis basara, edus birchas Hashem basara, edus chalitza basara, edus birchas nisuin basara. So, interesting Mar Makom.
What Pirkei is it in?
This is Pirkei de Blazer. I don't have the Mar Makom here. Sorry. I assume if you have the Frankel Rambam, it'll tell you in the parentheses where it is. But that's an interesting Mar Makom. But that's this notion of Pirsum that we have for Chalitza. Now, it happens to be in the Seder Aget, it says that Noagin to have a get b'minyan asar as well. That is no longer common practice. Even though it once was at a get with the Rabbi Wollhandler, Zichrono Levracha, in Williamsburg, and he told me that he's always machmir to have a minyan present for a get, but he's makel to include a woman in the minyan. he was Wollhandler was from the Neturei Karta crowd, where he's more than Neturei Karta. He's making that women is the minion for the get. Vabila does a may, minaga olim is not to be machmer in that for a get, but in general we are machmer for chalitza. Now, when it comes to chalitzas, there are often sensitivities. Some situations are more sad, unfortunately, than every chalitza is a sad situation, and the tefillah that we say after every chalitza is that we should never have to do this again. But some situations are more sad and more sensitive than others. So depending, we'll always have a minyan, but depending on the sensitivity, we may keep it to a minyan mitzumsum, or we may have a lot more people. I think in the Hasidic world, where they put up signs, so they're more inclined to having more people. And right. And sometimes that could happen, but we try to be sensitive to the sensitivities of the parties. We had one chalitza, relates to last year's topic, one chalitza of a number of years ago, where no one knew there was a Zika because everyone assumed that the woman's children were her children from her husband, when in fact it was from donor Zera, and there was a Zika. And she didn't want anyone in her community to know about that, so we had Mamish and Minyan Mitzumsum, and we vetted everyone there to make sure that no one knew anyone who knew anyone of these people to preserve their sensitivity.
The reasoning should depend on why you need a piercing, should depend on whether she can wait. If you say it's so that